Deep breaths, maybe a trade war is not nigh. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Last week, things looked pretty grim for the U.S. trading relationship with China, not to mention with other countries, including U.S. allies. The Trump administration slapped as much as $60 billion worth of tariffs and limits on investment from China. China threatened to retaliate. The fear was that we were on the verge of a trade war that would significantly harm U.S. economic growth. Markets had their worst week in 2 years. Well, it turns out that maybe things are not as bad as they seemed. The U.S. and China began some serious negotiations over the weekend. Joining us now is Marketplace's China correspondent, Jennifer Peck. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Sabri.
So what do we know about what's being discussed in these talks?
Well, the Wall Street Journal has reported that the U.S. provided a detailed list of requests, including getting the government in China to reduce tariffs on U.S. cars, getting greater access to China's financial sector by American companies. And according to the Financial Times, Beijing has also offered to purchase more American semiconductors by diverting some purchases from South Korean and Taiwan manufacturers. And Chinese officials are reportedly going to speed up some of the reforms they promised earlier, including allowing foreign companies to have majority control of securities companies.
This sounds like a significant change in tone from that which we heard when President Trump announced these tariffs. Am I reading that right?
Yeah. What we're hearing now is that the U.S. says trade war should not be the objective and that the two sides are working on mutually agreeable ways to cut America's trade deficit. But of course, the Communist Party in China is a little bit wary of seeming like it's bowing to foreign pressure. And so today's People's Daily, the Communist Party newspaper, has a headline which says China is not afraid of a trade war.
Okay. Jennifer Peck, Marketplace's China correspondent, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And in more trade-related news, South Korea has officially been exempted from 25% tariffs on steel and aluminum that went into effect on Friday. South Korea is the third largest source of steel for the U.S. It won't be subject to the tariffs, but it still won't be able to send over as much steel as it has in the past. It's being limited to 70% of its average exports over the last 3 years. And let's do the numbers. Markets breathed a sigh of relief over this trade news. The FTSE in London is up 0.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up more than 1%, with the Dow future up 254 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.84%. Language may not be the first thing that comes to mind for many Americans when buying a home, but it is very likely top of mind for some. New data show that limited English proficiency is, in fact, a barrier to owning a home. This is drawn from research by the Urban Institute out this morning. Marketplace's Rima Kreis explains.
Jose Guevara, a real estate agent in Los Angeles, does all he can to make sure language isn't a barrier for his clients. That starts with advertising in Spanish, a signal that he can guide Spanish speakers through the home buying process.
So I target most of my business and ad campaigns on Google AdWords for Spanish keywords.
The Urban Institute found that in areas where there are lots of people with limited English proficiency, home ownership rates tend to be lower, even when you control for other factors like age and income.
The mortgage application process is very difficult, even for those who do speak English.
Lori Goodman co-authored the report. She says last year, the government took a first step. It announced it would add a question on loan applications asking people their preferred language.
If you don't have the data, it's hard to say X percent of potential homeowners who have applied for a mortgage have a preferred language other than English.
With that data, she says the next step would be to provide translation for the millions of potential homeowners out there. I'm Rima Kreis for Marketplace.
Less than 10% of construction workers are women. With construction workers in high demand these days, that number's rising. But as Joy Diaz reports from station KUT in Austin, construction sites are often still not particularly welcoming or even safe places for women.
Let me pick up your homework.
At a community college welding class, I meet James Mescal. She's 28 and hopes to start a welding career, even though she knows construction is hard for women.
Well, no, I've already had a teacher tell me, like, you're going to have a rougher time.
Still, more women are getting into the field, says Tamara Crooks with the National Association of Women in Construction.
We notice that the numbers between male and female in classrooms is starting to equal out, where you're having just as many women join those courses as you are men.
A study by the Occupational Safety and Health Administration almost 20 years ago found that 88% of women in construction report being sexually harassed. But that study hasn't been updated. It might not be obvious when you walk by a construction site, but some basic equipment still doesn't meet women's needs. Crooks points out many sites still don't have a women's bathroom. And women often aren't allowed to use the men's porta potties.
Because there's still not enough tradeswomen on job sites that would require a separate one.
The same is true for safety equipment. Manufacturers design work gloves for big hands. Veteran welder Mary Jo Emmerich says it's almost impossible to get a grip on a flaming torch inside a huge glove. She also points out harnesses that are supposed to hold you while hanging from a beam are often too loose, which is dangerous.
It could slip off of you.
So there are dangers, but future welder Mescal sees a silver lining.
I feel like in this field I can make more money.
Yes, close to six figures. In 2015, numbers from the U.S. Department of Labor showed women in the U.S. make about 80 cents for every dollar men make. In construction, that's 97 cents. In Austin, I'm Joy Diaz for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.